A few events happened over the last week or so that really said to me, fall is here. So last Sunday, we ended daylight savings time, so it's getting real dark early in the day. Our days are getting shorter, so there's lots of darkness in our lives. I hate darkness. You can shine a flashlight in my face and I can sleep. I love the light. While hiking last Thursday, I noticed all the dead leaves on the side of the trails. When I looked up the mountain, I saw all the barrenness of the foliage. And I thought, yes, we can see that sort of symbol of the life cycle coming to an end. On a supernatural level, in November, we're asked to look beyond this earthly life. We had in the first and second All Saints Day and All Souls Day. We're asked to remember, to honor, and to pray for our beloved dead. So this time of year, both Mother Nature and God has us focusing on end of life and the afterlife. As for the end of life, we see this theme in our first reading from the book of Kings. God has brought a drought over the land because King Ahab has apostatized and started worshiping false gods. In punishment, the prophet Elijah proclaims that there's going to be a drought and a famine, and that has kicked in. So Elijah's on the run because the king's kind of mad at him, and he ends up in Zarephath. And there he has an encounter with the widow and her son. And we're told that they are preparing to die. The widow says to Elisha, "When we have eaten, we shall die." Their conversation is kind of weird. This guy shows up and, you know, the widow doesn't say, "Help us, we're starving, we're getting ready to die." She doesn't hide her food, like, "We don't have anything, the neighbors, go talk to them." She's real honest. She's like, "You know what? This is what's going to happen. We've accepted this, and here's our plans." I experienced this reality the past week or so because I had the privilege of administering last rites to 6 different people. Death is something of a 4-letter word in our society, and we don't want to talk about it in polite company. But death can be a very beautiful event. In my years of priesthood, I've had the privilege of journeying people as they have prepared to die. While not revealing anything personal, I find it interesting what we talk about. I was called last Tuesday to go and give someone last rites, and we all know last Tuesday was election day. There was no talk in that hospital room of the election. Didn't matter, right? We didn't talk about sports. We didn't talk about work. We didn't gossip. The normal things that we like to do, right? None of those topics were there. When the end is coming, it was people want to talk about 3 things. In the last rites, there's the option for sacramental confession. People want to get unconfessed sins off their chest. We don't want to stand before God with them on our heart, minds, and soul. We don't want them when we meet God. There's also the talk about family. When death is sort of known it's coming, everybody comes in, they're surrounded, there's 20 people in a hospital room, and it's beautiful. It's beautiful to hear people professing their love for each other, supporting one another, and just being there. And the stories start coming out about this beautiful family. And of course, there is talk of God. All the issues that we spend so much time and energy and effort worrying about disappear when death is there. And I think of the words of Job, "Naked I came forth from my mother's womb, and naked I will depart. The Lord has given, the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised." We also see this theme in the gospel with another widow. We're told that she has contributed all she had, her entire livelihood. She has given everything to God. This means she has put all of her faith, all of her trust, everything into God's hands. Well, isn't this what death is about? We give up everything and say, "Okay, God, now it's just you. You are the only possession that I will have for all eternity." This total surrender to God, realized by these 2 widows in today's reading, they're powerful, powerful examples of faith and trust for all of us. Now, faith and trust in God doesn't do away with fear. There can be fear in very faithful people's life. I don't care how holy you are, how faithful you are, how prepared you are, there's a fear of the unknown. Remember hearing someone say, "I don't fear death, I fear dying, you know? What's that going to be like? Like, am I going to have a heart attack, hit by a car, eaten by a shark? Like, what's going to happen? Like, how is that going to come to me, right? There's the unknown that's there. I know intellectually we can say from the scriptures, if we have died with Christ, we will rise with Christ. Yes, that is absolutely true. But how? How is that going to manifest itself? Gives a little uncertainty, which can bring fear. So don't think fear of death is a lack of faith. If you or someone you know are facing death, it's okay to be afraid. It's okay to say that. It's okay to reach out and say, I'm afraid of what's happening. Please journey with me. I'm also not saying there shouldn't be sorrow when we are faced with death. When you're in a hospital room and there's 20 people, you always see people trying to hold their tears back. And I'm always like, cry. Cry your eyes out. It's okay. I've said it before, I'll say it again. I love in the scriptures, in John's gospel, when Jesus is at the tomb of Lazarus. Lazarus is in the tomb. Jesus knows he's going to call him out. But yet, right now, Lazarus is dead. And those three beautiful words we hear in scripture, and Jesus wept. God himself cries at death, because death is an injustice. We were not meant to die. So, if you or someone you know are facing death, it's okay to cry. It's okay to say, you know what, these tears are a sign of my love for you. And let's let those tears come out. This time of year, we're asked to focus upon the reality of death and the afterlife. And I think it's a beautiful invitation for us to take a spiritual inventory. So let's ask ourselves a few questions. What is really important in our lives? What is really important? Yes, there's things we have to do day in and day out. I understand that. But what's really important? What's going to have eternal consequences for us when this life is over? How am I spending my time on this earth? I don't care if you're 2 or 102. We have limited time here when we compare that to eternity. Even if you live to 100, 100 years compared to eternity is that. So how are we spending that most precious gift that we have here, which is our time? What are our relationships with neighbor and self look like, particularly sin? Now I'm talking about my sin, your own sin, not your wife's, not your husband's, not your neighbor's, not your coworkers. You can't do anything about those. We can only do about ourselves. So where in our lives do we have to ask God and neighbor for forgiveness? Where do we have to amend our lives to say, yes, I'm walking in the footsteps of Christ? And finally, what does a relationship with Jesus Christ look like? If he calls you home today at 12:30 and says, hey, come on home, what would he say to you? If you stood right before Jesus Christ right after lunch today, what would he say? What would he say to you on Judgment Day? So we're reminded this time of year of the reality of death and the reality of the afterlife. And again, I don't care if you're 2 or 102, we should be prepared for these two events. So take some time to think about those questions and say, okay, God, what is really important for me today so I can be with you when that time comes?